Kids have take off with Mr. John back there, ready to go. Kids 3 years old up to the first grade. We're also received the morning offering for Honey Park. Believe it or not, the church at Hope Haven there, Bible Church, they celebrated their third anniversary this morning. And Joe said church was filled. The people just sang and celebrated. And I'll say this, guys, they are able to do that because God has used you guys to send them there. And so we just rejoice in that this morning and are so thankful for the privilege that we have to be a part of that ministry and your involvement in that. Now, if you're here this morning and you have maybe came in a little bit late and you did not get a lesson five, we're on lesson five today. You'll need one of these books. Lesson five, if you'll hold your hand up, you'll need this book right here. It's got the big number five. I think you got everybody covered, Jimmy. Y'all did great. Thank you so much. I do appreciate can you believe it's week five already? I mean, it's like the year. Anybody recognize how quickly the year's blowing through this year? It's amazing. We're already at week five of Every Believer a Witness. If this is your first time with us, this is a ministry where we're basically teaching everyone to develop their story, share their story of how they've come to faith in Jesus Christ and then how to share it. We've encouraged you to go and share it. It's been a great 5 weeks, and we've got a few more weeks, two more Sundays. I will be here next Sunday, just taking off in the middle part of the week so we can be there with Miss Tammy and we can get through things this week together. So we're excited about our time together. So I pray the Lord will bless you today. So let's do this morning as we work through this together. Let's do a quick review. Here's what we've learned so far. The first week as we studied together, we began to really look at why we don't witness. You know, our lives have been changed. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. We've been incredibly blessed by the Lord God by saving us and then certainly filling us with His Spirit and sealing us and all that He's done in our lives. Even last night, I'm so thankful for the many praises and prayer requests last night. Just really showed the dynamic of what God does in lives. And we of all people ought to be sharing good news. We ought to be passing that along. And we studied that in week one, why we didn't do that. And the next week, we began to look at testimonies. You know, oftentimes we hear someone give this great, big, long, flamboyant testimony, and we say, well, I don't have a testimony like that. And we actually took the scriptures in week two, and we looked and learned some things about ourselves. One thing that's common for every one of us, we were, remember, lost, blind, wicked, dead and enemies of God, not according to Bruce, not according to a denomination, but according to the words of the living God. That's true of every one of us. And so we understand we all come from a common base, a common core. And God gloriously has saved every one of His children, okay? Everyone who has placed their trust in Christ, has been saved, has come out of being lost, blind, wicked, dead, and enemies of God. So we do have a testimony, and we certainly learn from that, I think. Then week three, we actually took time during the middle of the sermon or the service, and we actually put your story on paper. Remember that? And since that time, as we developed it, some of you have shared that testimony. You've shared that story with us that Sunday morning. And then you came right back, and we encourage you that week to go on and share it with someone. Ask you to share it with two people. And I told you, one of the brothers shared with me this week, because, you know, sometimes we make it can happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Don't beat yourself up. This is about us learning to create a heart that's sensitive to the lost. Sensitive to those that are around us that do not know Jesus. We want to, you know, certainly one of the things we've learned years ago, Jerry Falwell had this little pen he'd send you if you sent $10 to Liberty, okay? And it was said, Jesus first. One of the things he said during the 70s, he said, Jesus first, others second, and self what? Remember? last. That's still true. But what happens is in life, because life happens to all of us, if we're not careful, all of a sudden we get put up to this one, or maybe sometimes even to number one, and life just dominates and we get stuck right there. We want to create, as God allows it in us, a heart and a culture of evangelism. People who are sensitive to the opportunities that are around us every day. Okay? And so we shared our stories. We heard some of those testimonies. Then last week we came back and we looked at seven ways to defeat fear. Fear is one of those things that everybody faces. And we looked at scriptural examples from Genesis onward, all the way through the Gospels, of people that faced fear when sharing their story with the lost, with those around them. Now, as we continue this week, and we will push forward in just a little bit, I want to do this. Last week we left off, and I encourage you to pray and look for opportunities to share your story this week and maybe defeat fear. And I know some of you did that this week. I know that happened because I know as we prayed together, I've heard some testimonies already. Here's what I need. I'm going to ask for one, maybe two volunteers. We'll see what the time is this morning. Who will stand and not share your story, but what I want you to tell us is tell us a little bit about, hey, I got a chance this week, I was at the gym, and there's this guy that works out with me or works beside me or somebody I've bumped into at work or a co-worker or somebody at school, and the Lord opened the door and I just shared my story with him. I just want to hear a little bit about that. Maybe it was even a family member. Could I get a volunteer that would just share with us that you this week defeated fear and you shared your story? Anybody want to, who will do that? Maybe even somebody who's never, ever, 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 ever spoken outside of your home. Who'll do it? I need a volunteer this morning. In fact, I know some of you. I could come to you, but I'm not going to do that. Who will share with us? You shared your story this week. Okay, there we go. Thank you. I'm coming to you. Just tell us a little bit about that event.
Followed after Nancy.
Is that on?
So I took Nancy's advice. Now, I don't have a problem really with telling people about Jesus. It's just, he's my father. So I often talk about him. But I had an opportunity and I was talking to the lady that does my hair. And I told her just a little bit just about homeschooling. I homeschool. So that's always an opportunity. People are always like, oh, I can't do that. I could never.
That's true.
And everybody is right. We can't do it unless we have Jesus and God, because we're on our knees the first week of trying. So when I was talking to her, she said I couldn't do that. And I proceeded to tell her about it. And she's like, well, whatever feels good for you. And the typical, we all have our own God. And I thought that's where she was going. So I kind of pushed it a little further. And by the time we got done, just to make a long story short, she goes to Harvest Baptist up the street. Mm-hmm. So she was saved. But I told her my story about growing up. I grew up on the other side of the tracks. So I'm your typical person who didn't grow up with a church family and yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I had an alcoholic mother, and my father was not around. So that's always another opportunity.
When
people hear that, they're like, whoa, I couldn't do that either. So I tell them always, it's always God. That's the only way I was able to get through and get beyond that. But when I was telling her about that, she said that she had a boyfriend that she was presently living with, and that she felt that she didn't know where he was headed, but she didn't think he was saved. She knew he wasn't saved. And when I was telling her my story, she kind of was drawing her own parallel, and she said, I feel that this wasn't a coincidence that we met today. I know it wasn't a coincidence. She said, now I feel like I can go to my boyfriend. And she couldn't really relate because she had grown up with a normal family. She grew up with what my husband had, more of a father and a mother figure, normal, everyday, kind of typical stuff. And so she grew up with that, and dating somebody that's not from that part of the tracks, she didn't know how to relate to him or if she should even be praying for him, what she should do. So it kind of, I think it encouraged her.
Yes,
she did
amen.
Say before I left that she was thankful that I had shared it with her because now she knew how to kind of pursue her prayers for her boyfriend. And
amen.
So that was
amen. Planting the seeds. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give her a hand on God. Praise the Lord. I want to remind you, we learn in Acts 1:8, how many believers are witnesses? Every believer, according to the Word of God, is a witness. Okay? Now, there are many others that are evangelists, but every believer is a witness. And you have a story to tell. Thank you for sharing that this morning. We do have our business meeting this morning, so I'm going to move on. We'll do some more sharing in just a little bit. Now today what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little time, and I want you to turn to page 2 if you would. Page 2, and we're going to develop a little further today, developing the know-how. We're going to build on that, okay? We're going to talk today about what do we say, and certainly we started a few weeks ago, we developed that, but today I want to hone it a little bit. I want to kind of take it, you know what hone means? It means sharpen it. It means trim it down a little bit, you know, kind of shape it. And we want to do that this morning with your personal story. And the reason we want to do that is not every time that someone comes across your path will you have 10, 3, 5, 10, 15 minutes to chat. Because not every time we connect with someone is it an outreach visitation, or is it you visiting someone in the hospital, or is it you plugging in with somebody somewhere else for a 30-minute lunch or whatever. Oftentimes, what happens is we have maybe a 1 to 3, 4 minute window. And so we need to also have our story honed enough so that if that opportunity presents itself, we can connect it. Because you'll notice in your booklet, you've got, instead of a whole page this time, you've got like 5 lines. So we're going to actually take a little time this morning and we're going to sharpen your story. You're going to do that, okay? Because what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at, okay, what happens if I get 3 minutes? And I can only just share a little bit about, and remember the 3 parts of your story. Remember that? My life before I met Jesus, how I met Jesus, which includes what? The gospel, and then my life since I met Jesus. And so now I'm really asking you to sharpen your pencils. And we're going to write down my life, and you've got about 5 lines. And as you can see in mine, I practice this stuff too. I've already written mine. I kind of went outside my lines. Part of it's because I am a horrible writer. That's why I love computers, okay? But I'll just say this. What we're going to do this morning is just sharpen it a little bit. Now, here's mine. Let me just read to you mine, okay? And this is my quickie version of the first part, my life before I met Jesus. I was born and raised in Concord, North Carolina, in a community filled with kids. I was the youngest of 2 sons with an older brother who wasn't thrilled with having any competition. I grew into a large kid and began to run with older kids in the community, which wasn't good and led me to doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. My parents weren't Christians. We went to church maybe twice a year. And probably the most dramatic thing that happened was at 11 years old, I found my brother dead, and that changed everything. And that's where I stopped with that part, my life before I met Jesus. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, okay? So you're going to have to hone it, okay? My life before I met Jesus, and let's get started. Thank you. All righty, let's move on now. We're going to move on. We'll tweak it in a little bit, okay? You can tweak it later on. We don't want to make it the long version now, okay? So we're going to move on to the second part. So now, the second part we're going to look at today is how I came to accept Jesus into my life, how I trusted the Lord. And so we're going to work on that. Now, let me remind you, is our story what this is all about? That's right. It's not our story. Our story is the vehicle, okay? This morning, you got up and said, I want to come to church and worship the Lord. You got into an automobile to get here. That was the vehicle to get you to this place. But your goal was to get here. That was what it was all about, to worship Christ. But the vehicle that got you here was whatever, Ford, Chevy, Honda, whatever, whatever your vehicle of choice. For the gospel, the vehicle of choice, according to the Word of God, is our lives. And so just as like when you get an inoculation, they come to you with a needle and a syringe, right? I wish I was looking for one of those kids ones this morning, but I didn't find it. But you got this syringe. Well, everybody sees the syringe and they run from it. Well, thankfully, your story is the syringe, and hopefully they won't run from it. But inside the syringe is what the good stuff. That's what we're really getting the syringe for. Well, your vehicle is your story. And let me just remind you this morning that the gospel is simply 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4. Let's read this together, okay? Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay? So let me remind you, that's what it is. The reason the gospel is so important is because of Romans 1:16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone, to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, of course, I didn't quite read that version. I had memorized another one years ago. The gospel is where the power of God connects with people's lives. And we know according to Hebrews 4 that God's word is living and powerful. We know according to Isaiah 55 that God's word always goes out and accomplishes His incredible purpose. And so we share the gospel in our story because it is there that people encounter the truth about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In your story, we're going to connect the gospel. Now, you don't need to say, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1, 3, and 4, that the gospel is this, okay? No. You're not doing that. We're not preaching. We're clothing the vehicle, okay? We're clothing the gospel in the vehicle of your story. Let me just give you an illustration. Here's my story, quickly. When I was 15, now following up at 11 years old, I found my brother dead, and that changed our lives. When I was 15, a Sunday school teacher from the church that we occasionally attended came by to see me. He told me I was a sinner. I already knew that because of the things that I had been involved in for years. He told me that Jesus was God's Son, and that that He came and He died for me on the cross. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. At that day, He asked me, would I like to trust Christ to forgive me? And the first time I was ever asked, I said yes. And that day I bowed my head and I trusted Jesus Christ to save me. That's my story. So now we're going to take 3 more minutes and you hone yours in, okay? You would? Father. All righty. Now let's go on to the next one. We're going to look at the third part of your story, my life since Jesus came in. Now let me remind you, we don't want to paint it up rosy. We want you to be honest. None of us have this perfect life since we've trusted Christ. We've had to deal with life. We still have that old sin nature. We've still struggled. So make sure that you don't get in there and start saying, well, since then, life's been great. Life's been good. Never had another problem, because that's not true. You're lying. Be honest in your story, but make sure you kind of concise it and hone it down. I'm praying for you the Holy Spirit will direct you as you hone it so you'll know which parts of that story to share. Here's mine that maybe will help you. Well, I was changed that day. I was immediately free from the sin of my tongue, which I had a bad mouth, what I struggled with for years. But God has been faithful. He forgave me, and He helps me, and has done so much, and certainly in my life, and through my life, and even now through my family. Hadn't always been easy. Even now, we're going through cancer together as a family, but God is still good. That's my story. Let's hear yours. All righty. What I'd like to do now is we're going to keep pressing on. We've got a few more things I want to cover with you this morning. But I'd like to do, could I get two volunteers, maybe one or two volunteers, that will read your story. Now, I don't want you to embellish it. I don't want you to add to it. If you left something out here you want to add to it, I want you to read to us your story. So who would share? Okay, here's Miss Robin, would you?
I was the youngest of four kids. Raised by mill workers, the most outgoing in the family and spoiled rotten. How I came to accept Christ, I was 5 years old, playing on a stump in the backyard, thinking about the fact that Jesus loved me so much He died for my sin and wanted me to be in heaven with Him. If He had the power to raise from the dead, I knew He had the power to take care of me. Prayed asking Him to come in and I would follow Him. I haven't always followed Him, especially my teen years, but He's always drawn me back. Amen. God has walked me through betrayal of family and friends and many physical needs, but I have always found Him faithful.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Praise the Lord, guys. Praise God. Anybody else want to share theirs? I'd love to hear it. David. Oh, big Dave. Come on. He was hiding beside Robin here.
My life before I met Jesus. I grew up in Graham as the middle child of a family of three. Our family went to church, and I even asked the Lord to save me at the age of 7, but nothing in my life really changed. I just kept living my life the way I always had. How I came to accept Jesus. At the age of 11, the Holy Spirit helped me to understand the things I'd been hearing in church for years, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, and that he rose again to make the way for my salvation. I bowed before him and asked him into my heart to be both my Lord and Savior. He forgave me of my sins and began to take over my life. My life since Jesus came in. I now have a relationship with God. I pray to him, and he speaks to me through his word. I believe he's given me spiritual gifts and a love for the people of God. And despite many faults and failures that you all know about, I believe the overall goal of my life for the last 37 years has been to live for him and serve him.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Anybody? I think we got time for one more. There's one back here. Come on, Angie. I'll come to you, huh? All right. Go ahead.
I grew up in a Christian house, an extended family, in a small town in southern West Virginia. We were all very involved and active in our church family. In my teens, as I learned more and truly understood how Jesus had died for my sins, I knew I was missing his light in my heart, so I prayed and asked him to be Lord of my life and to forgive my sins. I was saved that Sunday in front of a congregation of friends and family and baptized shortly thereafter. I was 14. I married at 19 and lost interest in church and God. I had 2 miscarriages and declining health a few years later and became very angry at God. It has taken many years and lots of soul searching and self-discovery, but I have rediscovered that still small light that I had hidden in my heart, and now it is a bright beacon for myself and others through me.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Praise God. Everybody that's a believer has a story. Thank you for sharing those this morning. What a blessing. Now, we're going to move on, turn to the next page, I believe it is, page 3 in your book, if you would. We're going to move forward because we want to talk about how we can develop and create openings for you to share your testimony. We're not always going to have it easy, okay? But what we're asking God to do is to create within us a desire to see those that we encounter along the road of life to make sure that they know the Lord Jesus or at least have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Nothing happens in life by chance, okay? And so today what I want to talk about is how do we get there? How do we get things started? Especially if it's someone maybe that we don't know that well or aren't even familiar with. Maybe we don't even know who they are, okay? Maybe we've never met them, but we just encounter them in our journey of life. Well, the first thing we're going to look at this morning is for you to listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Okay, now what I mean by that is listen to folks, listen to those around you. And here's what the Lord prompted me and reminded me of this today. Because oftentimes what happens, we are born selfish, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. Life to us is about us. Okay? And in life, what happens is that whether we realize it or not, we are that way naturally, and if we're not careful, when we're with people, even people we don't know, we don't really listen. They can be talking, and we can be carrying on a conversation, but we're not really listening. Because really, in our conversation, what we're trying to do, tell them what's going on in our world. We're trying to tell them how bad our life is or what the current struggle of our world is. And so we get so focused. But when we're really concerned about those around us, we want to listen to what they're saying. Listen to them sharing personal experiences, such as maybe someone says, you know, I'm going through separation right now. You know, in our culture, in our godless, Christless culture today, and even in the Church of Christ, many are going through separation in marriage. Many are going through divorce. And some of you, many of you have been wounded, and maybe even some right now are going through that. You understand that pain. Listen to common experiences. Maybe someone has aging parents and they're struggling because, you know, that creates all types of things maybe people have never dealt with. You listen for that. Maybe someone's gone through a job loss and they're struggling. Maybe financial pressures and problems. Even in our case now, even now, with cancer. You listen to someone sharing their struggle. Maybe somebody says, I got these rebellious kids. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'll never forget Tammy years ago, and she worked at Moses Cone, and the person over her department, they had kids day. They could bring their kids in. And I'll never forget that Tammy came home telling me that evening that she had one of our children there, and they were being behaved. You know, let me just say this. In our family, we expected our children to behave. Okay? That's not wrong. That's right. We're the parent. They're not. Okay? They don't rule the house. And we expected them to do the right thing. And so even when she took them to work, they still had to listen to mama. And her supervisor came and said, this is the head of the department at Moses Cone Hospital, and says, how do you get your child to do that? Well, what do you mean? Well, I can't even leave my child at home. They'll go through my pocketbook, steal my money. My wife said, I'd kill him. Now, we know she wouldn't, but I promise you one thing, he would never do it again. But you know what that was? An opportunity. Common experiences. Not saying we're perfect. My kids weren't perfect. We had the same issues that others had. But you know what? You listen for those common experiences. Maybe some have been through single parenting. I've never been through single parenting. Now, don't say this. Don't say, well, you know, I know what you're going through. If you've never been a single parent to a person who's a single parent, because you don't have a clue. But look for opportunities. And for me in life, and there have been often times that I've journeyed along with people. When I went through times of discouragement and difficulty, I can remember a time when our church, in fact, I've shared that with people before that have lost their jobs. When this church was started, I tell people I was fired from my other church. They say, well, can they do that at church? Well, let's put it this way. I can remember somebody came into my office that day after the vote, and I was loading my box of books up, and they said, what are we going to do now, preacher? I don't know, but I got fired. I'm loading my books up. What is that? What's job loss? Well, see, when you hear somebody talk about a job loss, you can say, well, you know what? You know, I've been there. I've had this happen. But you know what? I'm so glad. I'm so grateful that I had the Lord in my life then, because I'll tell you what, I've also been there at other times when I didn't have a Lord, and I handled things much differently. And so you begin to build on common experiences. And so listen for those experiences when you're with people. And you can just be sitting with people you don't even know. In fact, in the hospital is a great place to do it, sitting in a waiting room. You can hear a ton of stuff going on there. Secondly, listen for people sharing emotions, how they feel, okay? Listen to things that they are struggling with. Oh, I've just been so depressed. Just been so down. Been so discouraged. Or hear somebody say, you know, I just don't want to do it. I've been laying awake at night. They're anxious. Or you listen to someone talking about being afraid. Or if you observe someone and you can tell they've kind of withdrawn and you can tell that they're struggling with loneliness. If you've been there, I'll never forget when we were walking through depression together. My wife and I went through that together when she was in her late 20s. And one of the things she did was on that particular Sunday morning, she stood up one Sunday morning and said, I just want your church to pray for me. And she shared that honest emotion. And one of the things that happened was so powerful. So many people came and said, you know, I've been there. I've experienced that. They shared in that with her. Now, had she been lost? That would have been a perfect vehicle to say, I've been there, I've walked through that, and let me tell you how I got through that. And then you share the gospel, okay? Listen to those emotions. One of the things that I often use, and I share this with people, and especially with me, I remember when, and I'm so grateful for our church and our church family, when my mother, we brought her up here, and I'm so humbled that my 80-year-old mother, who had never moved and lived more than 3 miles from where she was born and raised, moved 100 miles up here to live with us and got to plug into our family for the last 2-3 years of her life. So deeply humbled by that. Also thankful she got saved during that time. And we cared for her and we watched over her, our family did, but when we had a lot of things going on at church and a lot of things happening in our family. And when my mama passed, y'all, I don't know if many of you remember, but man, I was done. And I'll be honest, there was time there when I could have got on a Harley and rode to California and I could have cared less. I wanted to do that. I fought that in my spirit. I mean, I just wanted to go. I wanted to run and flee, and that's apparently how I dealt with depression. That's how I dealt with that. And men deal with it differently than women. And oftentimes I'll hear somebody talk about going through struggle or depression or death, the loss of a loved one, and I can say, you know what? I know exactly how you feel. In fact, I had someone tell me that recently in counseling. I said, you know, I just want to leave. I want to disappear. I said, boy, I've been there. And what I'm listening to is emotions that we can identify with so that we can connect. And I often say, well, you know, Jesus reminds me in Matthew 11:28 when he said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. See, that's the vehicle. So listen for people sharing emotions like what you've been through, okay? And God will help you with that as you work through it. And you'll have to hone it as you work together. Now, also, thirdly, listen, look for opportunities in current events, okay? This can be events such as, and listen, everybody loves to hear this sort. I mean, everybody loves to talk about current events. Terrorism, it can be tragedies, and we certainly have a lot of those in our world. How to deal with those, unfairness that happens in life. I mean, certainly how we believers deal with that and then use that as a sliding board into sharing how you met Jesus. It's a very powerful time. In fact, as we think it through, there's times that you may want to say, you know, because some things, let's be honest, is life always fair? Does the court system always get it right? I mean, was O.J. guilty or what? Yeah, we laugh. He's guilty of sin. But you got enough money, you got enough notoriety, you'll get away with it. You can do that here. But you know what? You can say to someone, you know what? Life isn't always right. And the court system doesn't always get it right. Police officers don't always catch the right one. But the reality of it is, there'll be a day when everybody stands before God. In fact, one of the ones I can remember sharing, and I do this a lot with people, especially in this evolutionary mindset, billions of years being thrown around like it's 30 seconds. And I'll tell people, because people love to tell you, they love to tell you what they believe. You say, really? Well, yeah, try to ask them sometime. Take a current event that you know a little bit about and that you can tie it into your story and bring it out. And in fact, I can remember one I shared with a guy one time. I said, you know, because this is a guy I work with, and I'd only see him occasionally, but we would bump in. He actually would drive up years ago, and we'd meet, and we would talk. And I told him, and I said, what do you believe about how we got here? Of course, he was a college grad. He had all these, well, I believe in a positive and negative force. Really? Interesting. That's great. Tell me more about it. And he began to tell me about this electron, neutron, this stuff, you know, all these things happening and how this all connects. And I said, well, you know what? I believe in a positive and a negative force too. Except they got names. See, and I believe what I believe, not based upon what some textbook may tell me or somebody's hearsay. I believe it based upon what the Word of God says. And it gave me a lead in to share with him why I believed in God, in Jesus Christ and his Son. And certainly God used it. It was a very, very, very powerful time. Now, as you're hearing this today, you're going, Pastor, come on, dude. All you've done here is all I hear now is share your story, share your story, share your story. You're wanting us to share our story with everybody you meet. Yep. That's pretty much it. Everywhere we go, we want to be sharing the gospel. And we don't want to be Bible thumpers. You don't have to do that. I've done that. I can remember going in earlier in my year so filled with zeal for the Lord and wanted to see people say so badly, I'd go in with my scripture guns ablazing. And man, I'd quote scripture after scripture, and 30 minutes into this, I'd look over there and they're over there like, and I'm going, the Lord was going, are you done yet? Because I wasn't engaging him. It was Bruce and his zeal. But once you start engaging the Lord in this, it becomes fun. Because he's the one that wants to save them. He's the one that has put your path and their path together. He just wants you to say, hey, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. Let me tell you how I came into a relationship with God. Yes, we want to share the gospel with everyone that we meet. All right, number four. Make leading statements. Make leading statements. It can be something as simple. I mean, do you have some people that Now, there's some optimists in here. There's some great eternal optimists. I'm one of those eternal optimists. Okay, I can get up most times and feel horrible, give a man cold. Did y'all, hey, men, the ladies talk about us behind our backs. Did y'all know that? I was in the mommy's group the other Sunday night, and they were talking about the man cold. What's a man cold? Well, you're a man, you've got a cold, you'll know what we're talking about. Well, I had one of them last week. I understand. Women get a cold, they keep on doing their thing, they keep on trucking. Men get a cold. Oh, honey, bring me something to drink. I need some more medicine. I'm good. They talk about it. The reality is, as we think about it, guys, in this world of eternal optimists, and we have some, this morning I want you, do you ever just come into a situation and say, good morning? Anybody do that? Anybody say, thank you, Lord, for this morning? Anybody here today, anybody like that? Raise your hand. It's okay. Be proud of it. Praise Jesus. But you got a good spirit. Well, that's a great lead-in statement. But you know what? When you come in, you might say, hey, isn't it a beautiful day? And maybe you say that every time you see certain coworkers. Well, don't stop there. That's a great lead-in statement. Isn't this a beautiful day that the Lord has made? You finish the statement, and that gives you a lead-in because they'll go, what? Or maybe they'll say, question you about that, and that'll give you an opportunity. So let me tell you why I say that every morning. You use lead-in statements. You may use the one like, what do you believe about? And just let them share what they believe. Those are great lead-in statements. Now, I want to help you get that because I believe that Matthew chapter 28, when it talks about as you are going, when it says go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, when he says the word go there, that word is in a continuous present tense, which means as you are going. I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I don't have any problem with set times of going to someone's house and sharing the gospel, which we did this week. But I believe that the greatest gospel opportunities are as you're living your life for the Lord, as you're walking and journeying through the mountaintops and valleys of your experience in life. As you go, it's so important. And the reason I say that is because, guys, even this morning, the Lord reminded me that as I turned out from my road down here and came down Highway 70, first vehicle I saw, I looked over at these folks. Of course, I'm coming here to worship the Lord and sing His praise, study His word with you guys. And I see this gentleman, and I can tell he's not headed anywhere toward the church. He's not headed anywhere toward worship. As I saw him, the Lord prompted in my mind and said, that man right there is thinking nothing of eternity. Now, I want you to remember that. 99% of the people you're going to encounter when you leave this place today are not thinking one single thought about eternity this whole week. Matter of fact, most of them this whole year. God has strategically placed us in their lives. They're not thinking about heaven. They're not thinking about hell. They're still struggling over the election. They're still wrestling with what's going to happen with the homosexual union here in our own country. They're still struggling about finances. They're wrestling in life. They're not thinking about eternity, heaven, or hell. God has plugged us into their world so that we might tell them how great is our God. What an incredible privilege. Let me just say this. Because there's a biblical example of this. In fact, we've studied it together, and we're going to get back to John eventually this year probably, okay? In John chapter 4, there's the woman at the well. And y'all remember that Jesus had sent the disciples away in that beautiful biblical narrative, and as he had sent them into town to check on some things, and Jesus went to a well, and he connected right there with, y'all remember, was it a man or a woman? It's a woman. Remember, we call her the woman at the well. And he's there waiting, and she comes, and y'all remember what happened? What did Jesus use as the lead-in statement to be able to connect with her? Y'all remember? Yeah, water. He found common ground. He was looking for that open door. Now, did he say, woman, I'm here because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 3, and 4, you need to be saved? God's sending this. Did he start quoting scripture to her? No. He connected with her where she was at. He began to share with her truth. And then through that moment, you know what? He connected with her on the level of her relationships. She had had how many relationships? Y'all remember? Yeah, five, and she was in another one right now. So that's correct. Six. He said, the one you're with now is not even your husband. You've already had five men. Woo. So all of a sudden, he began to connect at a level that she had never encountered. Now, she just came to do what? Did she have any thought of eternity when she was heading to the well? No. Hadn't even crossed her mind. She was going to the well to get water. But Jesus strategically placed himself there. He came in with a leading statement about the water. Then he began to present to her the gospel. That dear lady was saved. She ran back to town and told, come see the man who told me everything I've ever done. What an encounter. We see that's exactly what Jesus looks for you and I to do. As we are going, let's make disciples. Now, quickly, I want to give you some tips on witnessing. Man, time's flying this morning. Tips on witnessing. Here's some things that happen. There's a big difference between sharing your testimony in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. One-time meetings, and we'll talk about the shotgun approach in weeks to come, but in one-time meetings, boy, you got to give it all. You go as far as you can, okay? If you've got a minute and a half, you take that minute and a half and you share it and you do your best. And what you don't get done, that's good. God's got it. You may have just planted one seed and you let the Spirit of God take care of it from there. On one-time meetings, but if you've got a friend you see every week, you ride to work with him, school with him every day or every other day, there you just begin sowing the seed. Take your story a little bit every day. Ask the Lord to help you to know where to start and where to stop, okay? And you just let the Lord create in them a hunger, a draw, a desire for Him. And He'll do that, okay? So, certainly it's different. Now, let me just say this in regards to those that you see every day. First of all, you guys wouldn't be here if you didn't care about others. By the time we're in the week, in fact, there are some people here that I believe, not here this morning, that I believe have been visiting us, that I believe were lost, and they're struggling with this right now. I'm praying for them to be saved through our time together. But some of them have backed off. Why is that? Because they're hearing the gospel. They're hearing your story. Some of them were here for week one, week two, week three, but some of them have pulled back. Why is that? Because they hear. But you know, as they come back again, they're going to hear it again. They're going to hear the stories again. They're going to hear the stories again. You wouldn't be here if you didn't care about people. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't work in Awanas or Sunday school if you didn't want to see the people come to know the Lord. But sometimes, guys, what happens is we work around people. We live beside people. We ride to work, school with people. Good people. They know, and we're good to them. We have a great relationship. But we've never, ever, ever told them how we met Jesus. And you think about that, and I'm sure that in this congregation, there are some like that. In fact, the Lord spoke to me about my time, because when I go up to the gym, when I get to go to the gym, I'm very focused. There are some people go in there and they'll spend 3 hours gabbing. I go into the gym to sweat, try to keep my weight off, okay, to work out, and I feed. But the Lord convicted me because He says, you've bumped into people over and over and over. You've never shared your story. I went, you're right, I hadn't. See, there's sometimes, so what I'm going to do next time, and this is what you may have to do because it may be somebody you know very well, maybe a childhood friend. You've never told him about your walk of faith. You may have to go to that friend and say, you know what? I'm just going to use the name Bob. You may have to go to him and say, you know, Bob, I got to ask your forgiveness for something. You know, I've been riding to work with you for years, and I know you, I know your family, you know my family, but I've never shared with you how I came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you forgive me for that? We call that the fresh start, okay? That way you got a fresh start with them so that they know that in week, and what they'll usually always say is, man, don't worry about that. Yeah, it's not a problem. I'm not to forgive you. Don't worry about that. But you know what it does? It begins the process that opens the door of a spiritual connection with them in a way so that you can just say, it clears the slate. You know what I'm saying? Now, you don't have to dump the whole load the first week, but it opens the door for future sharing, okay? And I'm sure there are some here today that your relationship at maybe work or school is not good. Maybe people would be shocked to find out that you are a Christian. Because you've been around them telling off-color jokes and You've been around them using profanity or looking at things they shouldn't look at on the video, showing stuff on smartphones nowadays. You've participated in that behavior, and you know what? If they found out you was a Christian, they'd be shocked. Well, let me tell you how to take care of that, because I'm sure that happens. What you may have to do is you may have to go to that person, you may have to walk up and say, you know what, Bob, I gotta talk to you today. You know what, I want to ask your forgiveness because, you know what, I'm a Christian and I've not acted like it. You know, I've participated in telling jokes and looking at things and talking about girls or guys and this, that, or other, and you name it. And you say, you know what, Bob, I want you to forgive me for that because I am a Christian. And I'm going to try to straighten this out because I want you to know how I came to know the Lord. I've not been a good Christian, but you know, with God's help, He's going to help me get through this, and I'll be a better witness in front of you, a better friend to you. And you know what you'll find? Oh, don't worry about it. Or they may say, you know what, the blankety blank, what are you talking about? You may be so shocked. But I'll just say this, guys, clear the slate, okay? Clear the slate so that you can share your story. You can share the vehicle, okay? So there's differences with those one-time meetings and in the multiple opportunities. There's another, expect mixed results, okay? Understand this. Every time you share, someone's not going to come to know the Lord. Here's what we read in Acts 17. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again, and a few believed. In every sharing opportunity, sometimes somebody will trust the Lord. Sometimes they will hear it and move forward and smile and say thank you, which I've had happen in recent weeks. Sometimes they go, no, I don't want to hear that. That's okay. Expect mixed results. I remember one particular instance, and I've had times when I've walked in and shared the gospel one time, had people trust the Lord that very afternoon and evening. Been a phenomenal moment. And I wish they were all that way, but they're not. There's been times I've went in, shared the gospel. They looked at me and said, well, that's good. I remember one particular lady I went in, and we shared the gospel with her and had my notepad. I'm one of these, I'm a visual guy. I drew it all out. I did everything, wrote all my scriptures, turned them, said, you read the scriptures. They read the scriptures. This particular person was even crying as they read them. I said, would you like to trust Christ today? Would you like to believe on Christ? And they looked at me and they said, nope. What do? You've done everything you can. We're not responsible for the end result. That's God's work. Salvation is a work of God. We're only responsible to be witnesses. And so expect mixed results. When you get somebody that trusts the Lord, rejoice. When you share your gospel story, rejoice. When somebody sneers, rejoice. Because you've shared the truth about Jesus Christ. The greatest truth that someone can hear. Absolutely the best story. And let's say this. Remember this. Inviting people to church is good. I encourage that, but that's not going. I want you to be focused on sharing your story. Matthew 28, now I'll say this. It says, go and make disciples. It doesn't say, tell them to come to the church. Coming to church is a great thing. We want people to come and worship and hear the word of God and learn to feel the connection of God's people as we did last night. Just beautiful. But literally, we want to share the gospel as we go throughout this community, throughout this world, as God gives opportunity. So here's what I want you to do this week, okay? I want you to pray and seek to share your story twice this week. Okay? I'm praying that. Y'all pray that for me. I'm looking for some great opportunities. In fact, the Lord's prompted me this week, we're going to get our guys that are here working, doing the church cleaning. Can't wait. I'm going to have a good time with them on Friday, Lord willing. I'm going to drive by. I'm going to do a drive-by. But pray for the Lord to open those doors and step through the door, share your story. You're going to be nervous? Sure. You're going to be fearful at times, but we've learned how to overcome that. Trust the Lord, share your story, and pass it on, okay? All right, let's pray together. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to take about a five-minute break. We'll come right back in here at, looks like to me, probably about 12 o'clock. Is that okay? And we'll do our annual business meeting. We'll open promptly at 12 o'clock. It's 11:54 right now. And so take your break. Visitors, you're welcome to stay and be a part of that if you'd like, and we encourage you all to stay. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the incredible work of grace in all of your children's lives. I pray this week that you'll continue to make us sensitive to those around us. Help us not to beat ourselves up too much, God, when we miss those opportunities or we back away. But I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to wax bold in our hearts and that you'll just give us clarity of mind and help us to share our story with those around us, the hopeless, the hurting, those that are struggling. Thank you for the privilege to be the light in this world. Your word says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God, the greatest work we can do is just tell them what you've done for us. Thank you for this time. Should there be one here without Jesus, God, I pray you'll continue to draw them to your side that they might see their great need of a Savior and trust Jesus Christ to save them before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name.